Praise the Lord, family, and welcome to another Gift of Life show. I'm glad you decided to tune in. Hey, this is a special show today. Of course, they all are. But this one is, I'm going to deviate a little bit from the parables, and I'm going to talk about distinguishing between discernment and judgment. There is a serious thin line that needs to be drawn so people can really see, especially believers, the difference. And so I'm going to start off with some verses now, and then I'll come back and I'll get into my notes. And this show is particularly dedicated to people who have been judged, believers that have been judged wrongly, and believers that have judged people wrongly. And I just want to encourage you that one day we're going to be coming home, we're going to be going home to glory, and the great judge of all judge, he will settle everything. Okay, so be encouraged. If you've been criticized and ridiculed and put down because of the things of your past or your present or your future, and misunderstood incorrectly, be encouraged, because this message is for you. And I probably might do a couple parts in this because it's so deep concerning the difference between judgment and discernment. But let me open up with several verses. In Jeremiah 9:23-24, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord that exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things the Lord delights. Now, this wasn't on my list, but it's just making me think about it. This particular Proverbs, it says in Proverbs chapter 4, it's a really good one. Let me find it right here, 4:7. It says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. But in all you're getting, get understanding. So we're really called to understand the Lord. And now here's the other verses I want to read. In Judges, in Matthew 7 through 6, judge not that you not be judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye and look, and then a plank from your own eye? Hypocrites. First remove the plank from your own eye, then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to dogs, or cast your pearls to swine, lest they trample. You see that? Lest they trample under their feet and tear you into pieces. Now here's the other one. In Hebrews in chapter 4. 4:11-13. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone falls according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit and of joints and marrows, and is a discerner of thoughts and the intents of the heart. And then the last one, right next door, in Hebrews 5, verses 12 through 14. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only in milk is unskilled in the words of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is, those who by reason of use have exercised and to discern both good and evil, or exercise their senses to discern both good and evil. Now I'm going to go back to Matthew 7. Now let me tell you something. I'm just speaking from my heart right now. I have some notes here, but here's what I want to say. This is something happened this weekend to a dear friend of mine, and my heart still hurts for this person. But what had happened, I can't go into details, but basically this person was being judged by something that happened a long time ago in their lives and was basically excommunicated from a, quote, Bible study. And now, the thing that was sad about this, that hurt me, is that, you know, I'm a person of the Word. I love the Word. I want to know the Word. Because when I know the Word, I'm going to know God. And then I'm going to sin less and bless Him more and all that good stuff. Wax on, wax off, right? But what hurt me a lot about this scenario that's very, very common is that this judgmental platform that was taking place was totally inappropriate. It was done in the flesh. And the thing of it is that when you do things according to the flesh and you set your mind on the things of the flesh, you cannot please God. Because what's happening, self-righteousness is coming up. Self-judgment is coming up and condemning. And instead of restoring and rebuilding and reproving, you're actually separating people away. And the enemy just loves this. But what had happened is that when people don't understand the difference between Matthew 7 that I read about the speck in your, the log in your eye and the speck in other people's eye versus discernment in Hebrews chapter 4 and 5, that when you exercise your senses, get the log out of your eye, then you can help other people. I know my grandmother used to say, I'm writing this booklet called Granny Sayings. One of the things she said, and you may have heard it, clean up your own backyard before you can clean up somebody else's, right? Well, you know, in this situation, nothing good really came out of it because discernment was not being used. The scriptures were not being used. And in Hebrews 4 that I read, it said that the Word of God is a discerner. And in this particular situation, the Word of God was not being used. The plumb line of God's Word was not being used. Carnal opinions and their and philosophies and feelings and talking thoughts were being used to judge this other person, which would happen to be a very close friend. So this is kind of personal to me, but it's also something that I've always not struggled with, but I've always had to fight back when I would hear people say, oh, don't judge, you shouldn't judge, you know, who are we to judge, and who are you to tell me what to do, and all this, and I would always say there's a difference between judgment and discernment, but I never really did a show on it, so that's where I'm coming from today. But I just want to read some good word here to you so you can see this thin line and see the difference between judgment and discernment. Now, here's a simple definition without going through trying to pronounce these Greek words and the different voices that it's in and all that stuff. But here's what it says: judging carries with it condemnation and separation from its subject. Okay, it becomes a me and a them thing, self-righteous me and inferior you, okay? It's a comparison. You're comparing your superiority, supposedly, to their inferiority, attitude, and actions. When you judge people for what they say or what they do or what they did, it places them beneath you. So judgment comes from on the top, pushing down, okay? But discernment, as you'll see, discernment is from underneath, pushing them up. Now, the thing is about judgment, the only person that can judge rightfully, and we know that that's God. He is our great judge and lawgiver. And a whole book of Judges was written about that. He's a judge, and he wants us to judge things, but to judge them in light of the spiritual discernment, not in our flesh, okay? And this is what the Pharisees were doing. This is the whole thing in Matthew 5, 6, and 7 that Jesus was doing, is uncovering all this judgment and condemnation that these Pharisees and Sadducees were putting on his people. And the bottom line is, remember he gave that story about the tax collector and the Pharisees, both of them going to church or to worship God, and the Pharisee looked at that nasty tax collector and said, basically, I'm glad I'm not like him. Look at him. I don't do this. I don't do that. But I fast about 3 times a day, and I. And God said that in a tax collector, he barely lifted his eyes because he recognized that he needed help. He recognized his sins, and he recognized that he had nothing to offer but just cry out mercy. And the story says that Jesus said that man went away healed. And so self-righteous judgment does not please God. And you're actually resisting God. You think you might be doing, if you're in the situation, doing a godly thing. But if you don't have the word to back you up, and if you're not speaking and getting, and you haven't gotten that plank out of your eyes so you can help get that speck, you are actually walking in the flesh. And you cannot please God. And you're giving the devil and those toxic thoughts opportunity to go back into your mind and root even deeper. So the one that's doing the judging is the one that really needs the help, okay? Because they're not discerning that they're judging. And that's a deception that Satan wants to keep a lot of believers in. When you're critical condescending and judgmental and complaining and griping and always putting somebody down, always saying something wrong, not to build them up, not to encourage them, not to come alongside and help them, but to just basically distance them yourself from them, that's judgment. And that's what happened in this scenario this week. And this particular friend of mine was distant from a, quote, fellowship that's supposed to be filled with love and discernment. Now, discernment, on the other hand, recognizes a behavior that is wrong, okay? But it does so out of the Spirit, out of the Holy Spirit, and out of the heart of what God has put in that person's heart to help the person that's struggling with sin to overcome it. So the purpose is to restore. Yeah, there's a rebuking and there's a reproving, but there's always restoration. You want to bring the person in and not push them away. So you see the difference? And if you look at Matthew 7, if you just look at Matthew 7 through 6, this could kind of be the judgment, the negative judgment in the flesh. You know, not all of it, because he gives us the example. He tells us, hey, before you can really judge right or discern right, because there is a thin line between those two words, but one is done in the flesh, and this one's kind of more in the flesh, and the other one in Hebrews 5, 11 to 14 is in the spirit. But he says, you got to first, so you can see clearly, because Jesus said, you're a hypocrite when you got a plank in your eye and you're trying to get a speck out of somebody. He says, first remove the plank from your eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. So can you get that? It's kind of like a cartoon thing. Can you see this person with this big bolt, this big, like a tree trunk coming out of their eye? I mean, it's huge. It's like 12 feet long. And you see a speck in your brother's eye, a little splinter, and you're trying to get over there to talk to the brother or sister and tell them what's wrong with them so you can get that splinter out. You can't even reach them, let alone see it. You can't even get there. So the point of this is saying, you aren't really helping. You are not really helping. You are being self-righteous. You've got this big old tree trunk in your eye, and you're trying to get this little tiny toothpick out of your sister or your brother's eye. And that's called self-righteousness. That is just downright pride. And that's what was wrong with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They were self-righteous, and they were judging wrongly. And they were not humble before God. And God says in his word in James 4, 6, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And the Pharisees that Jesus was talking to and the different parables that he gave, like the tax collector and the Pharisees, you know, these self-righteous people that are always criticizing and judging and putting people down, and they got this plank in their eye, they're just basically confident in their own self. They're confident in their flesh, confident in their position, confident that they're right and you're wrong. And God does not see that, because God looks at the heart. And if you are walking in the Spirit, you're going to look at this person's heart to come alongside to help them that you're trying to be discerning with. And you're going to have, as my grandmother said, your backyard somewhat cleaned up so you can help them. So I'm hoping you're seeing the difference between this judgment and discernment. Like I said, Matthew 7, read that. That's about judging, getting that plank out of your eye or that log out of your eye so you can help your brother, and then learning not to just throw the word of God to dogs and to swines and hogs, because dogs and hogs don't appreciate the word of God. So you'll get discernment when you're discerning and your eye is clear where you can see, and that plank, that log is out of your eye, you'll have discernment and you'll be growing. And that's what it says in Hebrews chapter, that verse I read, let me turn to that in Hebrews chapter 5. That whole section is all about a growing believer. It's about spiritual maturity. When you are really growing in your position in Christ, that's why I love my book that God wrote through me. I just love that book. It's probably one of my favorite books. Next to a lot of John MacArthur's. But when you are really, growing in the name of the Lord, and you are experiencing who you are in Christ and understanding what He has done, I'm telling you, spiritual maturity begins to work in your life because you begin to see a lot of the toxic thoughts, a lot of those logs that are still yet in your eye. And you will learn how to detox or wax off, wax on those different toxic thoughts and replace them with God's Word. And you won't have a lot of time spending a lot of time running around trying to get everybody else straightened out because you're going to be working on trying to get your own self straightened out. So it's very, very important. But in Hebrews chapter 5 right here, this whole section from 12 to the end of the chapter is talking about spiritual maturity, growing in Christ Jesus. And I love that because in my book, you know, we have four P's, our position, our identity has changed. We have a brand new position. Before our position was messed up, we were all messed up sinners before we were born again. But we became brand new creation. God forgave us. He took that big old log out of our eye and gave us brand new eyes, a brand new nature, a brand new position. And now we have new power, spiritual gifts. Now we can perform from that position. Well, see, when believers don't know their position, then they focus on their behavior and other people's behavior. And instead of trying to focus on who they have become, they're still focusing on their behavior of what they see. And they miss the position, they miss the power, and they're stuck in the performance-based mentality. And so if you want to help a person and try to get them to change, you don't point out all the things that they do or the things that they didn't do or the things that they should do. As a believer, you need to take them back and show them who they become. And that's where you'll know who you are so you can tell them that. So you've got the log out of your eye. You're grateful for what God has done. And now you'll be able to tell them. And you'll be able to come from your new position and help them in their new position so they can start performing in the power that God has given them. So you got to understand the difference between your behavior and your attitude. So we're looking at the Matthew 5, 6, and 7 is looking at the attitude behind the action. And judging, condemning, being critical, it is not walking in the Spirit. It is not coming from your divine position. You're coming from the flesh. And believers, still born again, brand new position, can still be carnal and still have that log in their eye. Unless they do what Jesus said, take it out. He said in this same book, in Matthew, to cut out that right eye, to cut off that right hand if it's offending you. And this is what I believe most believers are not doing. They're not renewing their mind, bottom line. So therefore, like this particular meeting that happened this weekend, you know, people were all there trying to be godly, but they didn't have the Word of God. The Word of God was not exalted. They were exalted. And after the meeting was over, nothing good came out of it. Nothing. Oh, you could gloss it over and you could feel good about yourself, pat yourself on the back and all that. But really, God wasn't exalted. So I just want believers to understand the difference, oh my goodness, between judging and discerning. Because Jesus plainly stated that we are not to judge each other with harsh words and a fleshy, demonic way. And so often, Christians that hear this, just being judging and taking the scriptures out of the context, then they just try not, they don't do anything. They go to one extreme, well, I won't say anything, we're not supposed to judge. Or if they do judge, try to judge, they'll do just the opposite, and they just condemn and criticize and separate people instead of bringing unity together. So the thing of it is, we've got to know the Word of God, because there is a difference between judging someone and discerning evil. See, there's a difference. Judging someone and discerning evil, the two are not the same at all. Like I said, the word judge is kind of a woeful, it's just like a put down. It's like I'm coming against you and I've decided that I'm the judge of this situation and I condemn you and your consequences is separation from me. Basically, discernment means to literally discern what evil things might be happening in you. How can I help you? Can we confess this together? The love of God is there. You know, it's a real loving, compassionate kind of a thing. You're coming alongside trying to help this person that you think that needs help. And you're doing it with a sincere heart. So, what else? Let me look at my notes here. So, basically, yeah, I like this. Hebrews 1, I'm looking at my notes. The book of Hebrews that I just read, Hebrews 5:14. And remember Jeremiah, God said that he is the one that exercises loving kindness and judgment throughout the earth. So you got to have the word. Because being strong, because having the word of God that's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, and it pierces the heart, and I like this. It said it is the discerner of the thoughts. And remember, I said this over and over. Everything begins and ends with a thought. And either you're going to think the enemy's thoughts or you're going to think God's thoughts. I mean, the only way you're going to know God's thoughts, you've got to have the word of God in you. And so here we had that scenario. People are trying to correct each other, but they're doing it out of their flesh, and they weren't discerning the Spirit of God, because only the Word of God can help us discern the difference between judging and discerning. So it is important to understand the difference between being judgmental and discerning truth with error. And Jesus said it, I read it, do not judge, lest you be judged. I mean, that we could go on and on, and I might extend this and make this part one on this, and focus maybe on the tax collector and the Pharisee and just tear that up a little bit, because that's a great illustration about judging and understanding for what God has called us to do. Hey, I'm just about out of time. As I'm looking at my notes here, I'm like, wow, time goes by quick, doesn't it, when you're having fun. But yeah, I'm almost out of time. I got about 3 or 4 minutes. But I just wanted to read Psalm 119. I hope this helped you. You know, just know that you're loved. Just know that God loves you. Remember, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. That's Romans 8. Most people know that. 8:1. All the judgment, all the wrath, all the condemnation that was against us, our sins, was put on Christ. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might experience the righteousness of God. We've been made right before God. Isn't that beautiful? So God is not judging you, okay? He is not judging you. Let me read this in closing. I'm your servant. Give me understanding that I may know your testimonies. Bottom line, hey, you're coming home with the Lord. Walk in your freedom. Walk in your righteousness that God has given you because of Jesus Christ's love. Hey, I'll talk to you real soon.
Cause home life was sour, peace was in the sunshine. Like to look up at the sky at all the pretty butterflies. New nature had some power, conditions took her by surprise. She had no real guidance, she was compromised. Not supposed to be exposed to all these guys. And when she goes home at night, all she does is cry. A heavy weight to hold for a heart of stone. Time passed by, now she's an adult. Thankfully, someone came along and they spoke words to empower and to give her some hope. Yes, to give her some hope. You're not alone. See, the divine is so close.
Divine is so close.
Though you've never been shown, he wants to help you change your perspective on home.
Like a prodigal son, or could be a daughter. You can always come back home, right to the Father. And there's nothing you can do to keep him from loving you. And heaven.
had him missing a lot, and here go the plot. See, he was faced with an urge irresistible. Wife really had no idea she about to take a blow. Pretty lady from work, constantly blurred.
Hey, Danny.
Low-key hotel, now he under a skirt. Not thinking about the vows of the suffering. Broke a promise to his woman, his kids, his covenant. After the sex, he laying in bed. Phone beat, wife sent a text, beautifully said, I love and I miss you, can't wait to kiss you. Felt the blow to the tummy, truth hurts when it hits you. Broke down right there, started a prayer. Been a long time, father, and I'm hoping you're here. I need your forgiveness, can't believe I did this. How can I come back home and try to fix this? I know I'll have to face consequences. Pleading for your help so deep in the trenches. See, we so quick to judge him as an enemy. Like I wouldn't take him back even if I'm bending. Ruin perfect chemistry, fool of the century. But how many things we've done that needed our serenity? No time to beat yourself up with that energy. Come back home, find healing and inner peace.
Like the prodigal son. Standing here, no matter what you've done, I will rescue 911. Change has come. Here's the healing.
Guys, we are here. This is Cameron Joy from Open Writers.
This is Queen.
We're walking into the studio. We are so excited. Thank you guys for your love and support. And we'll be giving you more.
Why are we whispering?
Because we're in the hallway.
I'll see you guys soon.
Bye.